Please support. I'm Dale R. Jensen, arguing for the appellant James Garden Dennis in this case. In some respects, this is a relatively simple case, and the court's aware the procedural posture couldn't get much more simple. We have a single-page petition, and we have a single-paragraph ruling by the court without any sort of evidentiary hearing, no inquiry into the facts of the petition or anything like that. What we have, basically, is a petition of an inmate, which was made pursuant to Virginia Code 801-217, which does require, when an inmate asks for a name change, that the court find that there's good cause for the name change, but there isn't really any guidance given specifically as to what good cause entails. Well, what the court did in its denial of this petition, essentially it says that because the appellant in this case was convicted of a number of crimes and was sentenced to a number of crimes, that in and of itself would negate anything that was in his petition, whatever that might be. And of course, in this case, what was in the petition was an assertion on his part.
He was, in his petition, he admitted he had felony convictions for embezzlement, sexual abuse, carnal knowledge, computer solicitation, and 20 counts of possession of child pornography. Is it your position that under no circumstances can a trial judge simply dismiss a petition for a new name on the face of the petition?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. That would be what I think that the, in this case, the underlying statute and constitutional petitions require, particularly where the name change was sought based on religious reasons. And, you know, quite frankly, it begs the question, if this circuit court decision is affirmed, is there ever any circumstance in which an inmate can apply for a name change where good cause ever would exist?
Don't you think you misstated what the statute says? Because there are a court could deny an application, but it has to be based upon the reasons in the application. If he was saying, I'm just doing this on a lark, or I'm just doing this because I think it would be funny, the court could say, no, I'm not gonna grant that application. Right? There has to be a reason stated in the application that's an appropriate reason to change one's name.
Right, and that
what you have here, but I'm saying it's not just any application has to be accepted, because I thought that's what the Chief Justice asked you. If that any application is sent to a circuit court judge, the judge has to accept it. That's not correct.
Well, it depends on what the reasons for seeking the name change is. And, of course, if the court deems that it's a frivolous reason, then I suppose under that hypothetical, the court could potentially find that there isn't good cause, but that's not the case that we have here. What
correct.
We have here is an assertion of a religious belief that underlies the basis for the petition for the name change, and essentially the court just ignoring that and saying because this particular individual was convicted of the crimes that have been, already been enumerated, that essentially under no circumstances
can interrupt
is it
here,
be possible.
We're operating under subsection D, right? Of 217?
Well, I think that we're dealing, as far as the court is concerned, in its ruling, I thought we were dealing with 217A.
Is this, but he was registered as a sex offender, right?
Yes.
Okay, doesn't D factor into this? No application shall be accepted by a court for a change of the name of a probationer, comma, person for whom registration sex offender, dot, 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 is required, or incarcerated person, unless, so are we dealing with D or A?
Well, in terms of the plain language of the order, I think we're dealing with A, but
well, putting aside the order for the sake of my question, which of these provisions applies to your applicant? Was he, you just answered this, he was registered as a sex offender, correct?
Yes.
So am I reading this incorrectly? Am I just reading it incorrectly? Why isn't D the operable provision? And if that is true, and correct me if it's wrong, the default is you can't file it, period. That's the default. We start off with a presumption that we're not going to even hear this. No application shall be accepted unless the court finds good cause, which is very different from people who are not sex offenders because the burden shifts. You should accept it unless you basically find the absence of good cause. So what am I? What's wrong with my reasoning from your perspective?
You've got to come under D.
All right. Well, let's look at the similar analysis under D then. Because what it says in D is that unless the court finds that good cause exists for consideration of such applications under the reason alleged in the application for the request to change the name. And I would submit that the First Amendment rights of someone to freedom of religion would apply in this case, and that would represent such good cause. Now,
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
What is, quote, Native American faith, end quote? I certainly don't purport to be an expert in ethnography of indigenous Americans, but little teeny bit I know about it is it was a very diverse cluster of people groups. So what is, quote, Native American faith, end quote? Is that referring to a particular tribe, a particular constellation of tribes, a particular what?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that my understanding of it is similar to what yours is, that it is not a particular denomination, and that generally Native American religions tended to be created by oral traditions, and I don't have the identity of the respective tribes. I will say that in the court's reversal in the Stevens case, which is mentioned in the brief, that the religion of the appellant in that case was perhaps not exactly the same, but it was somewhat similar.
But ordinarily, even in Lemons versus Kurtzman analysis, while courts never go into the genuineness or the sincerity of religious faith and never should, you have to understand what the proffer is. And the proffer here is Native American faith and that certain religious tenets, which are not described, not identified, no historical reference to the fact that it even exists, suggest he needs to change his name to Wright. Well, if you have that, and then you have an obvious potential risk that he's trying to avoid his past identity by changing his name based upon his multiple offenses, I'm asking myself, how can I say a trial court, as a matter of law, no reasonable jurist could conclude that the presumptive denial of D shouldn't hold? I know it's a rhetorical question, but make the best of it you can, because I need you to...
Well, I would answer that by saying that, again, there was no hearing in this case. There was no taking of evidence. The only thing that was submitted was a petition, and then there was just a one paragraph.
That's why D is so important. D is telling you, don't hold a hearing. That's what. If I'm reading it incorrectly, I need you to tell me so. It seems to me the application should not be considered or accepted unless you find good cause. And then if you find good cause, you accept it, and now you hold a hearing. The very next series of sentences, the court shall conduct a hearing. And then you start asking questions like, well, who is this guy Wright you're talking about? And what religious faith are you identifying? I'm not going to go into the details, but just tell me what you're talking about. That never happened, to be sure, but why isn't the default denial sufficient?
Well, because if a denial by default is accepted, then it essentially renders the phrase good cause in the statute completely meaningless, because there would be no circumstances whatsoever in which a sex offender could ever apply for a name change.
No, but I mean, wouldn't it just mean more specificity in the pleading? That is, you say, look, I've converted to Islamic faith, and there's this tradition going back to the Prophet of name changes, blah, blah, here's some famous example. I mean, something like that, as opposed to for religious reasons.
Well, the court didn't inquire about that. I mean, it would have been possible for the court to issue some kind of an interim ruling saying, we need more information, we need to have essentially a show cause of...
Or we're going to grant the application, and we're going to follow the terms of the statute, which will require me to give notice to the Commonwealth's attorney, to you, and we will have a hearing. And I will be able to ask all those questions, and I will be able to determine whether or not there's a legitimate reason for your name to be changed.
Right, but it's just hard to imagine if, and again, on its face, I don't have any reason to believe that the assertion of the desire to change the name was for religious reasons. If a First Amendment right, the practice of religion, is not a good cause, it's very difficult for me to imagine whatever would be good cause.
But I think you're missing their question. Their question is, does one have to explain in the application more specifically something other than it's for religious reasons? You've got to explain what the religion is and who's in it and the tenets of the religion and what other people have done concerning the religion in order for the court to accept the application.
Well, if there's a pleading standard to that effect, I'm not aware of it.
But it seems to me that this statute sets up what amounts to a prima facie case of good cause. That's what, I mean, you have to show some kind of good cause to get past the trial judge's ability to dismiss it outright. And maybe, well, I guess what you're saying is that if mine is a religious reason, I don't have to say anything more. That's good cause. And you can have a hearing. Maybe that's your position.
Well, not exactly. I mean, there is a statement in the petition about it being a Native American faith, and the tenet that is being relied on is the tenet that, you know, the name should be taken of the most recent or closest full-blooded Native American ancestor, similar to the one to the tenet asserted in Stevens. And, you know, in that case, there wasn't really any...
Well, I don't mean to make light of this, because I don't make light of things like this, but as you probably know, there were entire churches that were set up around pot smoking, which is illegal, still is. So if he said, I am a member of the Church of the Pot Plant, and your position is, that'd be enough to get a hearing? Or is your position, nope, I think the trial judge could say, you haven't met that threshold burden by a prima facie case.
Well, from a pleading standpoint, I'm not really aware of any standard that exists under this code section to plead with any high level of particularity. I think there was adequate notice pleading indicating the reasons why.
Well, explain the difference, though, between, I mean, A says may apply. You may apply to do this. And D says no application shall be accepted. And you're saying the process and procedure is exactly the same under both, which is you file the application and then you get a hearing on whether you've presented whatever the statute requires.
Well,
tell me under your theory what the difference is.
I don't think I'm saying exactly that. I think that what I'm saying is that regardless of whether you address it under A and D, you wind up ultimately at the same place. And the reason why you do.
The words are different. So you tell me how you end up at the same place if the words are different.
Because the exclusionary language of the latter part of that sentence comes into play and applies here. It says, unless the court finds that good cause exists for consideration of such applications under the reasons alleged in the application for the request to change of name.
Right, but A says you may apply, and
right.
B says no application shall be accepted.
Correct, and I accept that, but again, we've got the exclusionary language in D, or the exception to the rule of good cause.
But doesn't the difference between the two imply that there's a higher standard to get past the threshold in D? That there is a higher, if you want to get down to brass tacks, you've got to be a little more specific, you've got to be a little more persuasive, and you can't throw out generalities. You can get away with that in A, but not in D. Isn't that a reasonable interpretation of what the General Assembly is trying to do?
But again, the language of good cause is the same in both sections, and again, the good cause that was alleged in the petition is based on First Amendment grounds, the particular religion was identified, the tenant was identified. If there's additional information that the court thought it needed to make a determination, all well and good, you know, maybe
Wait
there
a minute.
Should have been
you
a hearing.
Good,
but
cause is good cause is not in A, B, and C, is it? Unless I'm
Well, I think so. It talks about in the second sentence, an incarcerated person may apply. Or wait a minute, it's before that. It says, and towards the end of the first sentence, if it finds good cause exists, therefore, under the circumstances alleged.
Are we looking at A or D now?
A.
A good cause is an A
right.
in order to determine whether or not to grant it.
Right.
Good cause is in D as to whether or not the pleading should go forward.
But right.
All right. Well, I accept that distinction, but again, would submit that First Amendment freedom of religion would be good cause. And it, again, if the statute is to have any meaning as far as that language following unless, if it's not a constitutionally protected right, what other good cause might exist that would do anything other than render that particular phrase in the statute completely meaningless?
All right. Well, your time has expired. Thank you for your argument. The court will be in recess.